When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Slammy, hey, you already know what's up. What's that, another home run? But you know the job ain't done till we hold that trophy up. Hey.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome, episode 595 of the Talking Ferraris podcast and YouTube show. Ben Fadden with you here. It is May 5th, 2024. Padres, they take 2 out of 3 from the D-backs. They lose today. Was not a very fun game to watch, but we do still have the positive view of, hey, we have Luis Arraez. He is a Padre. I'm already really liking the move. And things, it seems like they're trending in the right direction still. Would we have liked to have a serious sweep? Yeah, of course. But we got to realize that who was pitching today? It was the Padres' 5-starter, Matt Waldron, or I guess they're 4 now. I mean, with Musgrove going on the IL. There's negative things to talk about. There's positive things to talk about. If you want to join the show, click that link pinned up at the top of the chat. I will get to the chat, comments, questions, as always. But yeah, Padres take 2 out of 3. I already hit on Friday's game. I want to start here with what just happened today. Padres lose 11-4. They're now 18-19. They had an opportunity to get to over 500 today with a win. You look at the box score and you're like, wow. 12 hits on the day. Everyone in the lineup got a hit. You would look at that and be like, Padres won this game. But they were not able to do a whole lot with those guys that they got on base. They left 8 on base today, went 1-for-5 with runners in scoring position. They didn't have that big inning. They scored 3 in that second inning, you know, punched back after the D-backs scored 4. In the bottom of the first inning, their opportunity up at the plate against Waldron. But they didn't have like the huge inning where the D-backs, they had 2 innings where they scored 4 runs. The first inning and then the fourth inning after the Padres had scored 4 runs combined in the second inning and the third inning. So they punch back. And Waldron today, like that was the issue. Sure, would you like the Padres to score a little bit more runs? Yeah, but it's not like they got shut out. It's not like they scored 1 run or 2 runs. They scored 4, and Waldron just, he wasn't able to keep the Padres. He didn't do his job good enough today. Like, bottom line, meatballs over the middle of the plate to Ketel Marte right off the bat, 2-0 on the home run. Corbin Carroll, I thought that was actually not that bad of a pitch, how much that ball moved, but Carroll was obviously looking for that pitch, makes it 4-0 there. Again, like I said, Padres punch back. Merrill with the home run. Inside pitch really turned on that quick. So that was a really good swing. Fun to see. Obviously, you wish that the Padres would have been able to capitalize and win this game. Higgy, every once in a while, he's going to have one of those surprisingly good offensive games. And today, I thought, was one of them. RBI double. That cut it to 4-3. But then again, Arizona, they tack on there and made it 5-3. On a McCarthy single up the middle, I thought Arise should have dove for that ball. He didn't. He's not known for his defense. So I don't think we should be surprised when we see some stuff like that. It's not like it was right to him and he, you know, botched it. There was a ball that was hit hard right at him, and it was like, oh, Mudd said it on the broadcast too. Oh, okay. Good thing that he was able to get the double play there. 6-3 on Christian Walker's double. The center, just balls over the middle of the plate. You know, there was, I forget who was up at the plate, but ball supposed to be down and out, and it ends up being down but hangs over the middle part of the plate. And the D-backs capitalize. So just stuff like that from Waldron today. Higgy was having some trouble receiving the pitch today. It was dancing all over the place. And I forget what outing earlier this year, but this happened with Waldron before where it was like, okay, maybe it was the Cardinals. I think it was at home. And it's clear, okay, Waldron, the knuckleball's not working the way you want it to. Why keep going back to that pitch? It's not working. It's not working. Can we make the adjustment? And he didn't do it. And today, I think the knuckleball, now I'm obviously not Ruben Niebla, I'm not the pitching coach, but I thought he may have went to the knuckleball a little bit too much here today. And the D-backs, they were ready. And even if it wasn't a knuckleball, it was a pitch over the middle of the plate, and the D-backs were able to capitalize. Bottom four, McCarthy with the double, made it 7-4. Christian Walker makes it 8-4. Jock Peterson with the homer makes it 10-4. He almost hit a homer earlier in the game, but it went foul. So again, just pitches over the middle of the plate. You know, Brito, he goes three innings, gives up 3 earned runs, but I think those were three valuable innings that he threw because he was able to save some of the bullpen. Because remember, there's no day off until Thursday. We've got three games at Wrigley against the Cubs here. So that was important. Colek, Peralta, they end up pitching in this game. I was surprised they threw Wandy in this game when he's one of the Padres' higher leverage relievers, and it was a blowout. It was late in the game. But let's see on the bullpen chart that I put out before almost every game. He hadn't pitched in a while. He hadn't pitched since the first, and he threw less than 10 pitches that day. So they wanted to get him some action there. Where with someone like Suarez and Matsui, sure, they pitched on the first, but they pitched the day before that as well. And they had a little bit higher of a workload in those 2 days. So I guess it, you know, looking back on it now, it does make a little bit of sense why Wandy ended up throwing there. But yeah, just one of those days where the pitching didn't give you really that opportunity to go win this game. Unless you were going to score a ton of runs off the D-backs, you just weren't going to win. You look at the hits, though, like I said moments ago, 12 for the Padres, 13 for the D-backs, and you're like, oh, this game should have been closer. But the D-backs, they're able to come up with bigger hits. They had some homers in this game. Where with the Padres, they had Merrill. He hit the homer, but that was it in that second inning. That, I believe, that was just a two-run home run. It wasn't like anything massive. So, you know, kind of shrug this one off, realize that, hey, it's Matt Waldron, the five-starter. Now, if you're going to have the question of what is the future like here, is Waldron going to continue to be in the rotation? My answer to that is yes. I don't think they're just going to pull the plug right now, especially with the Musgrove injury, him going on the IL, and I'll get into that here in a little bit. But if you go look at the game logs, he hasn't been terrible in every outing this year. And when you're the five-starter, sure, your job, keep the Padres in games, right? He's been able to do that in some of his outings. 7 starts, including today, 6 starts before today. And sure, there's 4 innings, 4 earned runs. There's 5 earned runs, 4 earned runs. 4 earned runs his last outing before today, 6 innings. But still went 6 innings. 6 innings, 4 runs. That, I mean, out of the 5-starter, I think you'll take that. Not every time, but I think you'll take that. It's not the worst thing. It's definitely better than what Waldron did today, where he goes 3 innings and gives up 7 earned runs, right? And walks 3 guys. The outing before that, before the 29th, the 24th against the Rockies, that was in Colorado, by the way, went 6 innings, only 1 earned run on April 13th against the Dodgers, 5 innings, 1 earned run. April 7th against the Giants, 5 1/3, no earned runs, 1 run allowed combined, 5 punch outs. So he's had some good outings, and he has kept the Padres in some of these games here. So I don't think they're going to pull the plug here. The knuckleball, I think that he probably should have used that a little bit less today. And location was an issue. And that's really what there is to it. Yesterday, Padres, they win 13-1. Luis Arraez, what a debut, obviously. 4 for 6, first Padre to debut with 4 hits on the day. Didn't strike out yesterday, raised his average to 315. That was entering today, 751 OPS. Tatis with a hit. Crony, 2-hit day. Manny, 2-hit day. Profar, 3-hit day. Bogaerts got a hit. Merrill had a couple of hits. Campy had a hit. Kim had a hit. A lot of offense. And so Arraez goes from being with the Marlins, who stink, to being on a Padre team that's trying to contend. It's going to be energizing. And Arraez had a quote post-game yesterday about how, like, he's living his dream, and he's essentially super happy to be here. And I'm not surprised by that. I have the quote here, like the actual quote. He was thanking God for the situation that he's in and being able to be with the Padres and not be with the Marlins. This is what he says. I lose a lot in Miami. At first, when I read this, I thought he was like, you lose a lot of games in Miami. And like, yeah, no duh. But I think what he meant was he's losing a lot of people that he likes. I lose a lot in Miami, and I miss my ex-teammates and the coaching staff there. Everybody knows that. But thanks to God, I'm here right now, and now I'm on a winning team. I know it's hard when you go to the stadium and play and then lose the game. So thanks God to change my life right now. And then I'm here to prepare my mind and win a lot of games. So it feels like, I don't know, is Juan Soto comparable? Where, like, you know you're not going to be contending with the team that you were on. And sure, it's a change of location going from the East Coast to the West Coast. But you get to be on a team that's actually trying to win. You know, Dylan Cease going from the White Sox to the Padres. It has to be, you probably have an extra pep in your step. You know, you're happy to wake up and go to the ball yard every day, I would imagine. I've obviously never been in the big leagues and been traded and have to go across the country. And, you know, but no, the Marlins, they were in the Bay Area. So it wasn't, you know, East Coast to West Coast, literally, like Soto was at the time of that deal when he went to the Padres. But, you know, your team is in Miami with the Marlins and you have to go to the Padres. I'm sure there's a lot of emotions and there's a lot of things that you have to worry about, or maybe the agent takes care of that. But in terms of playing baseball, you get to be on a team that's actually trying instead of being with Peter Bendix and the Marlins. I feel bad for Skip. I was talking about that the other night, but man, he goes from being what, manager of the year, I think last year, makes the postseason, to Kim Eng's gone because I believe she felt like she was not being appreciated enough with the Marlins. So she's out of there. They hire Peter Bendix and they want to be like the Tampa Bay Rays of the National League. And you don't bring back Jorge Soler. There's all these injuries. You trade Luis Arraez and it's May. You get off to a terrible start, 9-20, whatever. And Skip's like, what? This is not where I want to be. We make the playoffs for the first time in a long time and we're tearing it up. What are we doing here? So I think Mike Schilt would have a spot on his staff for Skip Schumacher if Skip would want it. But Skip, I think he wants the future to be in managing. I'm not so sure he wants it to be with the Miami Marlins, though. I would not want to be. Now, sure, it's one of 30 jobs, but I'd want to be managing somewhere where they actually are trying to win, and it's pretty clear they're not trying to win there in Miami with the Marlins, and it sucks. It sucks. But getting back to the Padres, I mean, couldn't have had a better debut. I mean, if you go 6 for 6, I guess, Luis Arraez, right? But just the extension of the lineup, that's what I talked about on the video last night. Instead of having Profar leading off, who's been their best hitter, now he can slide down to the 5 spot. And after last night, he had a 977 OPS. And so the lineup was Arraez, Tatis, Cronenworth, Machado, Profar, Bogaerts, Merrill, Campy, Kim. And I like it. You have Arraez as a leadoff. You have Kim as a second leadoff. Merrill, it's not like he's leading off. So for anyone that wants to have the argument of, oh, let's have less pressure on him. Well, okay, he can stay down there at the bottom of the order, like Tatis in that two spot. Now, he is slumping a little bit. He did that at the home run the other night, but he is slumping a little bit. So hopefully he can change that around. But obviously you're going to have Tatis hitting second. You're going to have Jake hitting third with the start he's off to. Manny hitting fourth. Like, if it isn't broke, don't fix it. And it feels like the offense is starting to turn around. So I would make the argument that, yeah, it's not broke. Don't try to go fix it. It's fine. I like Profar hitting fifth. Hopefully there are going to be guys in front of him. When you have Arise, you have Tatis, you have Crony swinging the bat well, Manny swinging the bat better. Guys will be in front of him so that he can actually be more productive with that OPS that he has. And maybe he can drive in some more runs than being at the leadoff spot where you had Kim struggling, you have Tyler Wade, guys like that at the bottom of the order, right? It just extends the lineup. You know, Bogarts, who's been struggling, instead of having him hitting fifth, now he can hit sixth. And that might not seem like a big difference, but it is a difference. Would you rather have Bogarts up with two outs with guys on base, or would you rather have Jurickson Profar up right now with two outs and guys on base? I think we all know the answer to that right now. It could be different a couple months down the road, a month down the road, 2 weeks down the road. But right now, I think it makes such a significant difference that Profar can be in that spot and you can have an elite bat-to-ball guy in Luis Arraez leading off. I think he looks good in the number four. Michael King, let's hit on him. Last night, goes six innings, no earned runs, no walks. Obviously, for anyone that knows me, I love the no-walk number whenever I see that on a starting pitching line, on a reliever line, doesn't matter who. Any Padre that goes no walks, love it. No free passes. Mike Schill has said this multiple times, I think, to the media about how we're going to take all their mistakes. We're not going to give any to them. Like, don't give the free passes. Don't give them errors. Don't give them those extra base runners. But we're going to take the ones that they're going to give us and, like, capitalizing on those opportunities. Getting back to just the pitching from last night, I thought it was really good. And Michael King, with this Musgrove injury, going to have to step up and going to have to be that type of guy, right? And he has that standard for him as well. Cease, going to have to keep pitching well. Darvish, hopefully he can stay healthy. Because now you have three guys if King keeps pitching well and Darvish and Cease are good, right? That's three, not four. So now you have Vasquez, maybe if he's starting on Tuesday, and Waldron. Now you got question marks in the back end. Where with Musgrove, again, like with the rise in the lineup, the extension, right? With the rotation, no Musgrove, it's not an extension. It's a decrease. You know, you're smushing that rotation in terms of the guys that we think that we can rely upon start in and start out. So I think it's a good time. I already hit on Friday's game during that Arise episode. Padres won that one 7-1. Dylan Cease was Dylan Cease. Great job. Bounce back outing there. Tatis with the home run made it 2-0. Crony with the homer, Merrill with the double, Tatis RBI single, Manny homer made it 7-0. And that was that. I mean, as great of a night for Padres fans, right? Because we got the news shortly before the Padres won or the Padres game started that we were getting Luis Arraez and realizing that, okay, that's not that bad of a package to have to give up for Luis Arraez. Realizing what that's going to mean for this Padres offense. And then as we're kind of processing this news, we've got Dylan Cease going out there and dominating, and you got the offense scoring a bunch of runs, hitting homers, Merrill coming through, big guys in the order coming through. And it's like, man, what a night this is. And then you follow that up with the second game of the series, winning big like that. And yeah, it sucks that they weren't able to sweep, but there's a lot of positives that you can take from this series, no doubt. But moving to the Joe Musgrove injury, it was announced shortly before this game in the series finale that Joe was headed to the injured list. They are labeling it right elbow inflammation. Randy Vasquez has been recalled, and I saw it first from Dennis Lynn of The Athletic on a tweet. And I see right elbow inflammation, and of course, what do we think? We think the worst. We think, oh no, Tommy John, the worst. But then there's an update shortly thereafter and the Padres call it precautionary. This is from Dennis. The Padres are calling Musgrove's IL stint precautionary. Musgrove has been experiencing triceps tendonitis. Vasquez would be lined up to start Tuesday at Wrigley. San Diego also could go with more of a bullpen game. And I could see that as well. Go Brito Vasquez or Vasquez Brito. You're going to go more Hone, Colek, right? But this, I hope that it's precautionary. I hope that it's triceps and not elbow. Because I'm sorry, we've seen right elbow inflammation and we've seen guys this year, there's been a lot of it where a couple days later, Tommy John. Week later, Tommy John. So I hope it's precautionary, but why not label it triceps? Why label it right elbow inflammation? You know? You label it right elbow inflammation, and you're going to get the fan base worried about the health of one of their star pitchers, you know? So the encouraging thing for me was that Joe's last outing, it was, I thought, his most encouraging outing of the season. He goes six innings, quality start. I don't think he walked anyone, almost had 10 punch outs. The fastball was at, what, 94? The breaking ball was working well. I was really encouraged by what I saw. It seemed like he was pitching well, and maybe he had found something. So, sure, there's work that they do, obviously, in between starts, so maybe he felt something and something happened then. But that's why I'm like, well, he was good the last time we saw him on the mound health-wise. It looked fine. It looked better than what we have seen previously. So I'm hoping that, yeah, it was something that happened after that, and it is precautionary. It's not something that happened when he was throwing. I guess that's the glass half full view of it. But the glass half empty is, I mean, the Padres, sure, they could say it's precautionary, but there's been times before where we didn't think it was that big of a deal, whether it's a pitcher or whether, I think it happened with Luis Camposano, how he was going to be out for a few weeks and then he was out for months. I think that might have happened with Drew Pomerantz as well. It's happened before where precautionary, because they're not going to say it's bad without them totally knowing that it's bad, right? And then it ends up being months, or someone ends up having season-ending surgery. So I don't really know what to think. I think right now, us Padres fans collectively are kind of just, oh boy, hopefully this is not too long. With Darvish, I think we could all relax more because that was neck tightness. That had nothing to do with an arm. But again, when we see that initially, you know, we see it on the Padres broadcast, we see the Padres say right elbow inflammation. We don't see triceps, we see right elbow inflammation as the initial diagnosis or announcement, right? And we're like, oh boy. Because that's not something that I was expecting here on Sunday. Sitting, getting ready for this Padres game, I was not expecting Musgrove to go on the IL right elbow inflammation. If he was going to go on the IL, I was expecting it to be maybe earlier in the year after he was sucking. You know, that Phillies outing where a bunch of home runs, you put him on the IL then, it's like, okay, well, maybe there's something. But when you pitch well in your last outing against the Reds and then you go on the IL, I don't know. I just question what's going on. How did this happen? We'll see if some more quotes go out, but it's concerning for sure, especially when you see it, the elbow being a label, even if it's not elbow and it is triceps, like Dennis Lynn is saying there. Still concerning because, again, it shortens the confidence, the number of guys you have confidence in that rotation. And now Walton's going to have to step up. Vasquez is going to have to step up. We'll see if Brito starts and not Vasquez. I don't think that they're going to call up Mazur. I don't think they're going to call up Snelling right now. Maybe that's something that's later in the year. Is Jackson Wolf a possibility? Jay Groom has kind of fallen out of that, right? So, really, bullpen games going to have to step up. Vasquez, Brito, like those are the guys that I'm really looking at here. So, hopefully this is not a long-term thing. Hopefully this is precautionary. But, yeah, there's a level of concern when one of your big guys in your rotation goes on the IL. When you're seeing a bunch of guys around baseball earlier this year have elbow injuries, and then you see next thing up, oh, they're having Tommy John. Oh, they're having surgery. Or, they're going to be out for a while. So I guess it's wait and see on Joe Musgrove. All right, quick break, and then we'll get back to it. Check out Gaglione Bros. Famous cheesesteaks and garlic fries on Friars Road. You can visit their website, gaglionebros.com, for their entire menu and enjoy their cheesesteaks and fries at Petco Park and Snapdragon Stadium as well. All right, some other moves that happened in this series as well. Graham Pauly was sent down. Eggie Rosario was sent down. They needed to make room for Luis Arraez and Donovan Solano. I hit on this on pregame thoughts. Solano, it's just another professional hitter. If I remember correctly, he smacked the Padres when he was with the Giants. Professional hitter with the Twins as well. Played a lot of games. I think over 130 games played in last year with the Twins. So this isn't someone that should have really even been on a minor league deal, to be honest. But that's just how baseball is. I mean, Brandon Belt, he hasn't even been signed by anyone, has he? Unless I totally forgot. I don't think he has. So welcome, Donovan Solano. Donnie Barrels. That's a good bat. That's another good option to have because injuries can happen. And so it wasn't 100% if the Padres kept Solano down that he was going to stay in the organization. But now he's on the big league roster. He's obviously staying in the organization. And that kind of leads me into, well, we can hit on Pauly first, but it leads me into the infield configuration here. With Pauly, he was sent down. Again, he wasn't playing every day. This is the second time that they brought him up, right? First time on opening day, second time here recently. And he wasn't playing every day, wasn't getting the everyday at-bats. You have a vet in Donovan Solano that can come up. You acquire Luis Arraez. Send Pauly down, get him the everyday at-bats. Is this someone they're going to trade for pitching later in the year? I feel like Eggie Rosario might be that guy if they want to keep Pauly. But it's just, if you're going to bring him up, give him that everyday playing time. And with Merrill, obviously, there was that. With Pauly, there hasn't been that. I think he got a little bit more at-bats, more opportunities the second time that he was up. But it still wasn't as consistent as I think a lot of Padres fans were hoping it was going to be. And so I'm totally fine with Pauly going down. This configuration. So the options on the infield now, you got Manny, you've got Kim, you got Bogarts, you got Cronenworth, you got Arraez, DH, you've got Solano, right? Those are six options there that can play infield. And I did see this today about how maybe Bogarts going to be sitting on the bench a little bit more? Because I think it was from Kevin in his Padres Daily. Will Holder is a great Padres social media follow, by the way. I know he had it. So I wanted to pull this up here real quick. Here it is. So this is from Kevin. This was from his Padres Daily earlier today. Schilt indicated the team will likely continue with Tyler Wade against right-handers and Eggie Rosario against lefties. Now, Eggie is not on the team anymore. That's Solano. At third, when Machado is at DH, rather than moving Ha-Sung Kim from short to third and Bogarts to short. So would this mean, if you swap Eggie out, would that mean so they're going to likely continue to have Tyler Wade against righties and have Solano in there and I think he can play third. Have him play third when Machado is DHing. But what does that mean? If you're going to have someone there, then you're keeping Kim at short. You're keeping Bogarts at second. Cronenworth's obviously playing. Manny's DHing. Where does that leave Luis Arraez? He's going to be in the lineup. So maybe Arraez goes and plays third then. But if you want Arraez in the lineup, Manny's DHing. You don't want Arraez at third. You have Arraez go play second. That leaves Bogarts not playing. Now, I think some Padres fans would say, sure, go ahead, put Bogarts out of the lineup because he's just not hitting great, right? But I've seen a little bit better. Maybe I'm just, you know, recency bias or whatever from some of the good at-bats that I've seen. But I think he's been on base a little bit more. I'm seeing a little bit of an improvement. And Schilt, it just doesn't seem like Schilt's a guy that's going to sit Xander. Maybe it's, you know, once in a while, maybe a couple times a week. But I just wonder why. Why would you not have Kim go play third, have Bogaerts play short when Bogaerts has played short his whole career. And Kim can play third. We know that he's an elite defender pretty much wherever you put him. And you can have Arise play second. And you have Cronenworth play first, Manny at DH. So you don't have to go play Tyler Wade. Would you rather have Tyler Wade in the lineup, or would you rather have, who would it be then? Xander? I know Xander's been struggling, but you probably would rather have Xander. I know he's a righty, not a lefty, but we know Arise is in the lineup. We know Kim is going to be playing because he's valuable defensively, right? Manny DHing. And this, I'm saying, this is all if they're going to have Manny DH in some games, which they're going to, because he's not playing every day at third base right now. It's just, I just don't really agree with that. I'd rather just have the best bats in there instead of playing it by matchup. Schilt loves having Tyler Wade in there. If there's certain spots where it makes sense, if you want some speed, if you like him defensively for some reason at third and Manny needs to be DHing and you want Kim to be at short, okay. But I'd rather have like Solano at third maybe. Kim, if you want to keep Kim at short, okay. Maybe Solano at third or Arise at third. I know he's not the best defensively. That's a downgrade for Manny, which is everyone, by the way. You just take it. You take the offense that Arise is going to give you. Arise or Solano, professional hitters at third. Bogaerts at second still. Or you just have Bogaerts not hit. You know, send the message, hey, step up. Because Arise, you need him in the lineup. Kim, maybe Arise is at second. You're not taking Crony out of the lineup. That would be dumb. And you have Manny, obviously, in the lineup. So I wonder how they're going to do with that. I know he was taking some grounders. Arise was at third.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
There was the mention of him being in left a little bit as well, which is interesting. Why would they do that if Profar's not playing? But you're going to have Profar play every day. And Profar wants to play every day. When he's playing this well, I'm sorry, you don't get an off day. It's kind of like, unless you need it, but it's like Soto last year, right? When you're the best offensive player, you don't get a day off. When the team's struggling, you don't get a day off. And it's not like the Padres are 20 games over 500, 10 even, 5 even. We need Profar in the lineup. So I'm not so sure about, maybe their rise and left is like an emergency thing, but they've gone to Azokar as well and left. But if you want the offense, then you're not going with Azokar, obviously. checking social media here. Mike Schilt has spoken to the media. This is courtesy of 97.3 The Fan. So here is him post game today. 1 second.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty big part of it, not depending on one area, but you know, we just couldn't get it going on the mound to start. You know, Maddie just wasn't able to get anything going consistently. You know, had to clean third, but then start fourth and had to make a decision to get out of there. But answered back twice, punched right back, stayed in it, but just you know, couldn't hold them.
We've heard a little bit about what's going on with Joe, but what's your understanding of kind of timeline and prognosis?
Yeah, timeline to BD. We think it's very similar to Darvish's situation, where it's a not a scheduled breather, but a chance to get a breather. You know, through a bullpen, could have gotten through it, could have answered the bell on Tuesday. Just felt like there's some inflammation in there that's not quite, you know, where we wanted to be, and it's a good chance for him to get a little bit of a reset and a little bit of a blow. So don't feel like it's anything overly serious, but there is some inflammation there that we want to get out and make sure that he's feeling good consistently.
What do you envision using Solano? How do you?
Yeah, you know, I talked to Donovan this morning. We go way back. You know, I remember Adam and Ricky Ball, 2006. You know, just case by case, we'll see what it looks like. I mean, you know, they got some lefties going over there, so maybe provide an opportunity for him. And, you know, come off the bench, take a good at bat. So, you know, we're going to take it as it comes.
Joe's had a little bit of a rough entry, especially by his standards this year. How important do you think this reset will be to getting him back to what you're used to? And how important is he overall to what you guys are trying to do?
Yeah, Joe's been really big overall to what we're doing. And the last outing he had was tremendous. So, you know, I don't want to be too – got recency bias and I've got history bias with Joe. So his last start, he was really tremendous. It looked like Joe. History is the history. He's really a quality pitcher for us, has been for years, even prior to getting over here. So, you know, Joe's going to be important, like all our starters, going to go out and get a chance to compete every night.
Is this elbow anything that's affected him at all in his previous starts this season?
No.
No. Okay. So that inflammation happened after his last outing, maybe when he was throwing a bullpen. Was he working out and did something? All right. Interesting. Steve in the chat here with the super chat. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. It separates it into a different category, supports the channel as well. So makes it very easy for me to see anyone that does that. Steve says Padres will likely need to trade for a starter. Yeah, that's what it feels like right now. I think Preller will do that, especially like we're seeing the urgency, right? Acquiring Rise, acquiring Dylan Cease before they made the trip to Korea, right? Doing these things, still finding ways to go all in, but not be all in terms of financially, like not having a Mets payroll or a payroll of last year, but still finding ways to be all in terms of you're getting these big time player acquisitions, right? So Jesus Luzardo is a name. Is he hurt, right? I think he's hurt. But that was a name that the Padres had interest in before they acquired Dylan Cease. So maybe they revisit that before the deadline. Obviously, it's May 5th, so it's hard for me to go pinpoint a bunch of pitchers that could be targets for the Padres, because who knows who's going to be contending? Who knows if a team's going to be in the middle and they're going to be like, hey, nope, we're going to go add. We're not going to sell. So I think that's more of a discussion for a little bit later down the road. But yeah. I don't think that's like a hot take or anything, Steve, to say that the Padres will likely need to trade for a starter. Anyone that wants to bring up Trevor Bauer, I continue to see that on social media. I don't feel like dealing with that headache and that attention with Trevor Bauer being on the Padres. I don't think they need that. I think things are good. I don't think they need him coming into the clubhouse. If he gets a spot with another team and he performs well, then that might be a little bit of a different story. I still wouldn't want to do it, but at least you'd have the track record of, hey, he came and he proved that he can pitch at the big league level. But I feel like there's reasons why he hasn't been signed by any team. It's not like he's receiving a bunch of interest from teams. So I think we should take that as a clue as, hey, yeah, let's stop bringing up Trevor Bauer. It's not going to happen. Jason with a super chat. Thank you so much, man. says, notice that the relievers that Arizona brought in after Nelson was proof that Arizona was not comfortable even with a large lead. Thoughts? Well, what I found interesting was in these blowout games, they had that one guy who's throwing like 102. He's freaking nasty. And they have him throwing in these big games. Even when I think the other night when the Padres were putting it on the D-backs, he was throwing in this game. Martinez, I think, is his name. Justin Martinez, that's who it is. He's 22. He throws like 102 sometimes. His ERA is 1. 9 innings, 9 punchouts. And I'm like, why is he not one of their high leverage guys? Shouldn't he be pitching a little bit more? But yeah. Arizona, look, they don't have Paul Sewald right now, their closer. They don't have all of their guys healthy. So when that happens, yeah, you feel like we need to go to the relievers maybe a little bit, go to certain guys because they don't have all the starters, right? It's not like Zach Gallen was pitching in this series. Merrill Kelly wasn't pitching in this series. So yes, when they're not comfortable with the lead and they've already lost the series, they don't want to get swept. They want to make sure that they can keep the Padres down. They're going to, you know, switch it pretty early and be like, nope, we're not doing this. Now, with Schilt staying with Waldron, maybe some thought Waldron needed to be out of this game. We got to remember, with Musgrove going on the IL, Tuesday, that could be a bullpen game. And you've won this series. Schilt has talked about it. I think he was on Ben and Woods talking about this last week about winning series. Sweeps are great, but let's win series. We win series, we're going to be in a good spot. Padres have won this series, and sometimes, like today a little bit, it felt like they needed Waldron to give them some innings. They wanted him to go more. They were trying to give him the opportunities, but obviously it wasn't going to happen. I don't think that's a spot where you want to have, okay, Morejon throw, Colek throw, Brito throw, all of like your guys that maybe could go multiple innings, have them all throw. Now, Colek threw, Brito threw, but you don't want all of them to throw. So I think that's where, if your point is, why didn't we pull Waldron earlier? Well, you don't want to be pulling your starter as early as possible just so you can try to go get the sweep. You know, you got to have a little bit of a long-term view in it, especially when you've already taken the series. I know that sounds like, oh, that's not a winner's mindset. You're fine with losing. I'm just trying to look at it from what Mike Schilt's point of view might be. As a fan, of course, we want to win every game, but, you know, these are humans that health is paramount and you want them long-term. So who knows who was available, who wasn't. It's not like they're going to have Yuki Matsui go throw in the fourth inning, right? They're not going to have Robert Suarez go throw in the fourth inning. You're going to stay away from guys in certain situations, like today, what the score was. So that's my best explanation there, Jason. But if you have any more questions, comments, please let me know. You don't have to use another super chat there. But I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Anything else I wanted to get to here? I believe there was. There's something I'm forgetting. Maybe there's not, actually. I feel like I'm missing something in this series. But maybe I'm not. Oh, that's what it was. Paulie and Solano. I already hit on that. So, all right, we're good. All right, let's get to the chat. Pods Nation 619 says, that's all right. Go Pods. C. Mertlick says, disappointing game. Yeah, it was a pretty boring game when you're down like that. Yeah. And I'm sorry, but I haven't been to Chase Field. I might go some at some point, but because it's obviously close, pretty close. Watching games on TV, those Chase Field games, unless it's like a playoff game, it's hard to be like super locked in. Like I'm watching the game, obviously, but hopefully you get my point. It's just not super visually attracting to watch games at Chase Field. It just doesn't look like a very great ballpark. They could use a new ballpark. I don't know what that situation is. Doesn't really seem very loud very much. It looked like a good crowd today. But, yeah, it's just not as appealing. Like, watching a game at Wrigley, visually appealing, you know? I'm not the biggest fan of Dodger Stadium, but still watching, it's like, oh, this is big time. It's at Dodger Stadium. Same thing with Yankee Stadium, Fenway, Petco Park, obviously. It's visually attracting. Philadelphia, I would say even D.C., PNC Park, but we don't really get a ton of that because it's not like we're at the stadium. Oracle Park, but like Chase Field, it just, I compare it to, obviously because it's like a dome, I compare it to like Tropicana Field. Just watching it on TV, it's just not super entertaining, you know? If the Padres are doing really well, yeah, but I don't know, it just seemed pretty boring today, to be honest. Yeah, I'm seeing this, obviously, get Walton out of here. He's garbage, but I guess you guys, some of you did not remember some of the good outings that he's had this year, you know? And get Walton out of here, what are they going to do? Who's going to replace him? It's not Trevor Bauer. Let's stop bringing Trevor Bauer up, please. It's not realistic. It's not going to happen. If it was going to happen, it would have already happened, I think. They would have already given him a major league contract and Bauer would have signed. Greg says, Padres can't develop a pitcher. Well, sometimes they trade him. And we'll see what Robbie Snelling and Dylan Lesko end up being. You know, Mackenzie Gore, he's had moments with the Nats for sure. With the Padres, it was, for me at least, it wasn't Gore. He had good starts, but it wasn't him fully living up to potential. Ryan Weathers, I don't think he fully lived up to his potential. Eric Lauer, same thing when he was with the Padres. Now, maybe Lauer and Lucchese, right, our expectations were too high for those guys just because we wanted them to be that guy. But, yeah, I mean, you're right, but I think some of those guys get dealt before, you know, they get those. Cal Quantrill, he ended up being pretty good with the Guardians, right? He had time with the Padres for sure, but it wasn't like a lot of time, if I remember correctly. So sometimes it's, yeah, they don't develop, but sometimes it's, well, they're attractive to other teams. So are they not developing them or are they? And then for some reason at the big league level, they just don't pan out as great as we would have thought. But this happens. I know we're all focused on the Padres. It happens around the league. It's not just a Padres thing. Now, the Dodgers, obviously, that's different. Like, that's totally another level. The Rays, or just feels like they have pitchers. They have 100 pitchers in the minor leagues that can come up and pitch well at the big league level. But there's plenty of teams, I would say, that probably would identify with us and, you know, have that same issue. And as a Padres fan, I do respect it a little bit with AJ, right? He's trying to get the guys that have proven that they could pitch at the big league level. Doesn't want to wait on guys that might not pitch well at the big league level. No, let's go get guys that have pitched well. Let's go get Dylan Cease. Let's go get Clevinger. Sometimes it doesn't work out, but let's go get those guys. Let's go get Josh Hader in the pen. You know, let's get Mark Melancon. Let's get Trevor Rosenthal. You know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I respect that he tries for it. Yeah, Jay, what a start to the season Profar is having. That is for sure. Let's see what his up-to-date numbers are right now. 344 average and 963 OPS. Yeah, that'll do. That'll do. I love him in the five spot right now with the rise coming in. Johnny says, Ben, he has a shoulder capsule injury, talking about Musgrove. Should have had surgery last year, have the surgery now. But it's not a shoulder thing. They're not saying it's shoulder. Now, maybe he could have been compensating, but it seemed like he was healthy when he was thrown in the offseason. It seemed like he was healthy in spring training. I didn't hear anything about it then. At least I don't remember that. It's come up amongst Padres fans, right, in discussion because he hasn't been pitching well. But, or was that Musgrove? Who was it that said, like, he was good enough to pitch? Where that came up, and it's like, well, should you be good enough in April, in May? Like, let's get right here and not be good enough. Let's be really good and be really healthy. So maybe this is what he's talking about, where he was good enough to go, but now there's more inflammation, and let's back off a little bit and let's see if this can get better. If it can't, then yeah, that's going to be an issue. But AJ may just go acquire a starting pitcher, and he may end up, you know, turning into another Dylan Cease. Who knows? Andrew says, all the players we traded for in the Soto deal suck. Only one that's decent is King, and even he is below average. I wouldn't call Michael King below average. Maybe that's just me. I know you look at the ERA, and it's like, oh, not that great. And he's given up a bunch of home runs. But let's remember, and I think this was a great thing that Ruben Niebla, Kevin Acey, wrote about this. Ruben was talking to Michael King about how he's just starting his journey as a starter. How many starts has Yu Darvish had? And how many starts has Michael King had? So when Michael King gets on himself, it's like, dude, you're at the start of this. You got a lot of time here. Give yourself some grace. I think that's what we should do as Padres fans as well. I mean, April 6th, 7 innings, no runs. April 17th against the Brewers, 7 2/3 innings, 1 run. His last start, 6 innings, no runs against the D-backs this series. Sure, has he given up 6 runs and 4 runs and given up a bunch of home runs? Yeah. But there's still, you're seeing the positives there with King. So I'm not ready to say he's below average. And all the players suck. I mean, Higgy, I'm sorry, if you had a sky-high expectations for Higgy, I don't know what to tell you. He was a backup catcher. He's a defense-first backup catcher. I knew what we were getting with Higgy. Vasquez and Brito, it's still early for them, too. You know, there's talent there. There's upside there. You like Vasquez, be more consistent in the strike zone. But, you know, Brito, more swing and miss. But there's still the talent there. They're under control for a long time. So I'm definitely not going that far to say all the players we traded for suck in the Soto deal. Twins traded Arise for a pitcher. That should tell you something. What do you mean? They traded for Pablo Lopez in that deal. Pablo Lopez is like the Twins' ace. He dominated the Astros last postseason, didn't he? So I think that's a compliment to Arise. The Twins were like, we got to get this great starting pitcher. And the Marlins were like, well, Arise will do that for us because Arise is an impact guy. And he helped them go to the playoffs last year. So I don't really understand that point there from Ed. Diego says, what do you think of Colek's outing today? I like what I'm seeing. There were some rough patches, right? But I'm fine with what I'm seeing as a Rule 5 guy, someone that can go multiple innings at times, 17 2/3 innings this year so far, 16 punch outs. It's not a high leverage guy, but I'm fine with him being in the bullpen. All right. Before getting to the rest of the chat, shout out to some of the great partners of the show. Already hit on Gaglione Bros, main location on Friars Road. Breaking Tea, Padres, Aztecs, Wave, shirts and sweatshirts. Click the link in the description for them. Same thing with Underdog Fantasy. 100% deposit match up to $100 when you use that code Talking Friars. And then SeatGeek, same code Talking Friars, $20 off your first order with SeatGeek. They will tell you if your value there, a seat that you want, is good, is it bad. So make sure to check them out. Yeah, I saw this, Raymond. Dodgers handling business. Played really well against the Braves this weekend. I'm surprised that's not the Sunday night baseball game and they chose to go Phillies Giants, but there's others that are, maybe it's like a limited number of Sunday night baseball games that you can have. Maybe they're saving the Braves or Dodgers for later in the year. I assume so. for more games, but those are the best two teams on paper, right, going into the year in the National League. I would have spotlighted that game, but that's just me. But yeah, Dodgers played really well. I saw Aldin Gonzalez. He had a tweet about it, so let me pull that up. And I'll give you my reaction to my immediate reaction when I saw this tweet. The Braves arrived in Dodger Stadium with the best record in the majors. They'll leave with the second best record in their division. Otani, Muncy, and Teoscar Hernandez homered 8 times. Dodgers pitchers limited the Braves to 6 runs in 29 innings. A sweep, a thorough sweep. Shohei homered 3 times his last 2 games. The last one traveled 464 feet. His OPS is over 1,000. So, like, it's Shohei Otani. He's, you know, the best talent we've seen. But what I would say to that is, I mean, that's prime Dodgers in the regular season. You know, I don't really care too much about what they're doing. Cool. Yeah, they swept the Braves. That's impressive. But it's the regular season. What are they going to do in the postseason when it matters the most? Right. We know that they're going to make the playoffs. They're probably going to win the division. So whatever they do now, I'm not like, oh my gosh, look what they're doing. Whatever. Let's see here. Who would we trade for a starter the equal of Joe? Yeah, again, like that's, I think that's a better question for me to answer down the road. Because there's some teams that we know they're not going to contend, but are those guys going to be healthy in a couple of months? And I'm not so sure the Padres are going to immediately make a trade. They're probably going to want to see the health of Joe. Because if Joe's going to be good, then maybe they don't acquire a top guy, and maybe they acquire more of a mid-rotation guy so they don't have to give up as much. We'll see. I'm sorry I don't have a better answer to that, Steve, but I just think, just to be fair for the situation, I think that's better to ask, you know, when we get closer to the trade deadline. But, you know, Preller could totally surprise us and go make a move right now. Because I was not expecting Arise to be a Padre, you know, in the beginning of May. Didn't seem like really anyone was. But AJ did say the other day that it was gaining some steam, that trade Arise to the Padres, over the last couple of weeks. And then with the Marlins sucking and the injuries, I think that made it an easier decision for the Marlins to be like, yeah, we're not contending this year. Here you go. Let's make this deal. Because who knows if Arise would have been healthy. And the longer they wait, the less they probably are able to get back from a team. This, obviously, in this scenario, being the Padres. Oceanside Boy 760 says, not mad, but the starting rotation is really concerning. I'm not, to be honest, I'm not at the point where I'm really concerned, because I'm seeing Cease. I'm seeing Darvish. I'm seeing Michael King. I'm seeing some positive things with King. Now, you look at the back two, sure, and there is a level of concern. Like, I'm concerned a little bit, but I'm not really concerned. I'm not at the really concerned level here on May 5th. I'm just not. I need to see, is Musgrove going to be out for months, or is he going to be out for a few starts? How is he going to bounce back when he does get back on the mound? All right, that's going to do it. Talking Friars, episode 595. Thank you, everyone, for the time. I appreciate it. Padres, D-backs, Padres, take the series. Sure, we would have liked the sweep, but I'll take the series any day of the week. And now they go to Wrigley to face off against the Cubs. And that's going to be a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday series. Darvish and then Vasquez, maybe. I think that's what we're looking at for this Cubs series. Let me double check here. Because Waldron pitched. So, yeah, Darvish, Vasquez. And then Cease for that series finale. So hopefully they can take 2 out of 3. I would think that they wouldn't take Tuesday if we're basing it off the starting pitching matchup with Imanaga throwing and then a spot start Tuesday, but Justin Steele was pitching for the Cubs Monday. He's got a 1.93 ERA, so that might be tough. But hey, Darvish, he's back, so that's gonna be a good matchup tomorrow. That's at 4:40 on Tuesday, and then 11:20 a.m. on Wednesday before the team flies back home. They get a day off Thursday before welcoming in the Dodgers for a big weekend in San Diego. All right. See everybody. Thanks for the time. I appreciate it. Have a great rest of your night.